You're listening to the Talking Soup podcast.
Are you ready?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Talking Soup podcast, episode one. This is an ill-informed and sporadically recorded podcast to go alongside Talking Soup, the world's 147th most popular first-person narrative online journal. What's on the menu today? Well, students, love them or loathe them, they're in the news. That's right, indeed. Students are having a very bad time of it at the moment. Not only are they not allowed to drink and shag and do all the stuff that students normally do, but now they are being told that they cannot have Christmas either. How do we get here as a society is to cast light on the plight of one of our most maligned subcultures, that of the studying, hard-working student? Well, that's what we're going to try and find out today on the Talking Soup podcast. Are you all sitting comfortably? Good. Get yourself a nice hot cup of cocoa and come around the fire, for I'm going to tell you a story of a brighter time. A nicer time, a time in a land far away, a land called 2010. A land where a younger, naive version of myself was hacking through his last 2 years of an undergraduate's arts degree in an ancient university.
Disclaimer. This podcast is based on personal experience. It is not intended to be consumed as an all-encompassing solution to the ills of the world.
Okay, so let's talk about routine.
What was my routine like? What did I do on a daily basis? Studying for an undergraduate's degree in arts in one of the so-called ancient universities of Scotland. Let's have a rundown. It's Tuesday. It's 2 o'clock. It's the one day a week in which I have class. The students mill around the outside of the lecture theatre, perfecting that oh-so-British institution of avoiding social contact when it is not strictly necessary. Come 2 o'clock, we all enter the lecture theatre. A teacher comes in, some due reverence is given, and we begin. And beginning entails going through the motions, so to speak. The same old slides and PowerPoints, the same themes, the same teachers as years before, going through the same stuff again and again and again, ad nauseum. We do that for 2 hours. At 4 o'clock, it's very promptly called off, and we get up, we leave, we make our acquaintances, we go to the pub, and we get peshed.
I think you've had enough, son.
Oh, what joy, I hear you say. Oh, what joy to get drunk on a Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And I say, hey, my work was over for the week, for that was indeed it. Those 2 hours were the sum total of my entire university education in terms of face-to-face teaching for that particular week, and I'd earned it. This gave me 6 whole days to do whatever I wanted, safe within the confines of a university and funded by the benevolence of the student loans company. The crippling debt that would haunt the rest of my existence, a mere afterthought as pint after pint flowed down with an ease hitherto unattained. It was indeed a joyous time, one in which the nihilism of having pints and getting drunk every single day didn't seem to make that much of a difference at that period of my life. This was, after all, the university experience.
Wait, what?
What is the university experience? Well, that is a very, very good question. considering it's what everyone's getting so pissed off about at the moment. The university experience is a social aspect. And I, for one, totally condone the idea of moving away when you're 18 or 19 and spending some years on your own. The idea of everybody staying at home with their parents just because the terrible situation in which we find ourselves perpetuates the need to stay at home with our parents past the age of 30 is not a particularly progressive viewpoint for society. But that comes from a position of privilege. Look, if you don't do any of these things, where are you going to go at the age of 18? Millport. So back to the experience. What's it all about? It's social, it's meeting folk, it's making connections. Connections, yes, yes, very good. The tweed jackets and the corridors of power across this land. Connections. Connections have got us to where we are now, where an elite controls everything from within our systems of government. But that's what a lot of people are very much up for.
Perpetuate. Perpetuate.
Yeah, mate, but, like, what about just having a good time? Like, all the, like, heavy shit aside, like, what about just having a good time? Like, learning to express yourself and just, like, having a good little bit of a party with your mates? Yes. Yes, it is. Absolutely. So does that sum up the university experience? Almost certainly not. But the lack thereof is what everybody's complaining about at the moment. We'll be back with you after these commercials. The following is brought to you by the Association of British Drinkers. I'm so lonely. I just want to go home to see my mother. Christmas should be a family time of year. Lonely, isolated, depressed, or just looking for a quick burst of joy? Well, we have the answer for you. Binge drinking. Drown your sorrows. Deal with today's problems the day after tomorrow. So coronavirus comes and takes away everything that we've just talked about. Takes away the lot. Gone are the pubs, the clubs, the parties, the shagging. It's all gone. Taken away. Take away your connections. Take away the expression of social joy. And what are you left with? You are left with 4 hours of class. Rent. Hall fees. Tuition fees if you happen to come from a nation not as blessed. And the free education afforded to us by our government. Of Scotland. It's a lot. Costs about 10,000 quid to go to university and tuition fees. Hall fees could be that again. Plus your food, your catering, you know, all this kind of stuff. That's a lot of money. For 4 hours of class a week. The problem being that our society is now geared to the student experience being more important than the institution of university itself. Now what the fuck do I mean by that? Let's look at the university as a centre of learning. Why is it there? What's the reason for the university? The university, or as I would understand it, comes from this idea to foment new ideas. It comes from the idea of being a world-class tool.
What did you call me?
For the development of said ideas. Through research and discussion. It's a way to build on a specific interest so as to gain access to something inaccessible. Now, think about those tropes, think about these themes, and I want to ask you, undergraduates,
people who have studied an undergraduate degree in their late teens and early 20s. How many of those things applied to you? How many? Fomenting new ideas? World-class development of such ideas? Building on specific interests? Furthering the course of society? No cheating now.
Tick tock, tick tock.
Now the other part. University doesn't represent any of these things. University is a step on a ladder that takes you from primary school through to secondary school, through to entrance exams, through to your university, which guarantees you your corporate job. As a graduate trainee in one of our nation's top companies, where you can rub elbows with the same guys you met in universities and similar social structures, and you perpetuate the same thing again. Suddenly all those ideas, all that fomenting of potentially societal change is irrelevant. As your paycheck comes in and you pay off your student loan, it seems quite clear that the student experience has superseded the university as an institution. What we gain from the social side, from things that happen out with the academic achievements of campus, are now actually worth more than what happens within. And that, my friends, is why everyone's complaining. Perpetuated privilege is something that privileged people are very reluctant to let go of. I speak to you from a position of a privileged person, maybe one who's even reluctant to let go of some perpetuated privilege. Now, in the eyes of the privileged, university no longer fulfills its role as a perpetuator of privilege, as a way of making connections, as a step in the game of a planned existence that has been going on for generations and generations and generations. But the question is, are we missing the point? We argue whether students should come to university at all in this time of pandemic. We argue whether they should go home for Christmas, whether they should come back after Christmas, whether their life should go on and they should be afforded the prospect of having the so-called time of their lives on a social level. But this is missing the point. What are we waiting for? Are you waiting for normal? Normal's not coming for a while. But it will come. We want universities to be held to account, to be forced into some kind of reconciliation between the institution of university and the university experience. Two things which I would argue are no longer compatible in the modern age. Certainly during the pandemic.
It's a no-no.
So what's the score? Do we just go home? Do we send the students back? Do they stay near their parents and wait while the universities do nothing and academics slide slowly into further degrees of lethargy as we wait for so-called normality to return and the status quo to continue much as it did before? I don't think that is going to happen. So, is there a conclusion to this? Sure. I promise it's not going to be one of those podcasts. I think universities can be held to account in another way. And in fact, by waiting for the normality to return, we're missing a golden opportunity. This pandemic serves as like a microscope, something that really highlights many of the issues that existed before the pandemic. Issues that people had brought to light, but the establishment had ignored.
One of these is the university experience. And its older, sicker, more traditional brother, the institution of university. But these universities have still got the tools to change, the tools to foment the ideas that could potentially lead to a better society. We have an opportunity now to progress. We have a moment to take stock, to think about what we want to do when this whole thing is over. And optimistically, perhaps, I like to think that it will be all over someday. Whether you can go home or not, Christmas is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of things, it's nothing. What does matter is that students are now exposed only to the institution of university, and it's the responsibility of that institution to take on the ideas of this generation. Change the format, change the pre-recorded lectures, the Zoom calls in which nobody talks to each other. You have the tools, away with the lethargy, open the floor for debate. And maybe, just maybe, a generation of sharp minds can come together in open forum and think about ways in which we can develop a better, more sustainable, more equal future post-COVID. This is the Talking Soup Podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us across all social media platforms at Talking Soup Mag. If you'd like to feature either in the magazine or on the podcast, get in touch by whichever means you find more comfortable. And in the meantime, stay safe. And I'll see you soon.